powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Two very different quarterbacks facing off in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. And it's not just in terms of playing style, right? With Hurts obviously having a great arm, he can throw it down the field. But we all know that the key to Philly's success this year has been being a very balanced offense. Hurts can run the ball. And most importantly, he is really successful with quarterback sneaks. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is still a mobile guy. But you cannot deny that arm and that passing game from Kansas City. So yeah, stylistically, two different quarterbacks, but they're also two different quarterbacks for a different reason, Bump. Patrick Mahomes is accounting for $35 million this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's his cap hit. Meanwhile, Hurts is accounting for less than 1% of the 2022 salary cap for the Philadelphia Eagles because he is still playing as a second rounder on a rookie contract. Finally, this year's Super Bowl may put to bed the question of whether or not a team can win after they pay their quarterback big money. Patrick Mahomes isn't accounting for like a quarter of the salary cap for Kansas City, but still, one of the things that we've always heard, because frankly it's true, is that for the most part, teams that have won a Super Bowl have done it with a quarterback that is not being paid the most in the league, with a quarterback that is playing on a rookie deal, or with a quarterback that by chance ends up maybe just not being that guy. You've got Dilfer, Flacco, obviously, before he got his big extension, Foles as a backup in there. Wentz was still on a rookie deal, so that wouldn't have counted anyways. So you've got a few random examples in there, and then the one many people point to, of course, is Tom Brady, who always took a little bit less. I digress. Separate conversation to get into for another day. But finally, you're going to, you know, be able to say, hey, this is a guy, Patrick Mahomes, that got one of the richest contracts of any quarterback. Can he win a Super Bowl after doing it?
He can. And I think I want to change the conversation, because once you get to the Super Bowl, I think that preparation and coaching probably plays the biggest role during this game than it does in any other game. You got 2 weeks to prepare for this. 2 weeks coaches are grinding film, looking at data, seeing where they can win their matchups. I think that we should be looking at, can you get to a Super Bowl with a quarterback who's getting paid the most? Because end of the day, it comes down to performance in that moment, being healthy. We're seeing with the 49ers how quickly your season can be derailed just by guys being hurt. So that's the way I'm going to start looking at this conversation. Can you get there? Because what you want is an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. And I think that's what both these teams have done. Obviously, you got Jalen Hurts, who did it in a different way. Mm-hmm. Rookie contract, boom, you get there. Pat Mahomes got there with a rookie contract. Now he's there with a $35 million cap hit. Next year goes to 46. And it goes all the way up to 59 by 2027. We'll see. And we expect the Chiefs to be competitive every single year that they have Pat Mahomes. So I look at this game and I go, man, I would love for Jalen Hurts to win it. Guy had a nice journey from Alabama to Oklahoma, sitting behind Wentz, doing it his way, MVP candidate, didn't throw any touchdowns in the conference championship game, did it a different way. I look at Pat Mahomes, I would love for him to get it. Solidify himself as one of the greats. We already think he is. Five times been to the conference championship game, getting paid the most on the team, killing all that noise. And the reason why people are falling in love with this story, because it's true, right? You haven't won with a guy who's getting paid as much as he is. But that doesn't mean it's not possible. As soon as people see something happen, right in front of your eyes, then they start to change the way they think about things. And that's what I love. I love challenging thoughts. I love challenging processes. I love doing something or seeing something done that hasn't been done before. So we got two different stories here. And I'm good either way. Either one of these guys win.
Yeah, I love both teams, honestly.
I'm good to go. But I would love to see the highest paid player in the football team, who is a quarterback, lead his team to a Super Bowl.
I just love when a conversation gets a little spicier, when you throw in a couple more ingredients. No one likes boring food, right? You need salt. You need seasoning. You need to add in, you know, maybe some onion here and there, you know, whatever it is. And that's exactly what this does. And the 360 on the Mac and Jack's text line, join this conversation anytime, 866-979-3776, says, is this a real question? Mahomes is in a league of his own. And 360, you're not wrong. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback in football right now. But he still adds to the conversation. And make no mistake, before Mahomes got this big deal, you know what people were saying? Yeah, you're winning with Mahomes now, but what are the Chiefs going to be when he gets paid? Mm-hmm. You got to pay him big money. Can you still win when you're paying Mahomes? And, you know, can you keep Kelsey? Can you keep Jones? Can you keep Hill? It turns out that they just chose not to pay Tyreek Hill, moved on from him, traded him probably a year earlier than they needed to. They did pay Jones, and he stayed productive. They did pay Kelsey, and he stayed productive. Mm-hmm. They were able to, via Brett Veach, who's the GM, make a lot of really, really smart moves. They also made trades that were great. They had draft picks that were great. They had some that didn't work out. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a first-round pick for them. However, Pacheco was a seventh rounder who ended up being a really nice contributor. So they found contributions in unexpected places. I think that sometimes when we talk about teams not winning when they pay a quarterback big money or when they have that guy, it's not necessarily because they're paying the quarterback, though it is a factor. What it is that it is really hard to win and get to a Super Bowl every year. Three teams have been to a Super Bowl in three consecutive seasons. And what, maybe seven, eight teams max have won in back-to-back seasons. It hasn't been done since the New England Patriots did it in the early 2000s. It's not something that's especially common. Winning a Super Bowl, even though it feels like we see the same teams, is really, really hard. And the league is built for that. So when you have a franchise quarterback and when you have a really talented guy, you're winning a lot of games. What happens when you win a lot of games? You start paying stars. What happens when you win a lot of games and pay stars? You aren't drafting first, second, third, fourth, fifth overall. You aren't drafting in the top 10. You aren't drafting in the top 15. It just becomes hard to sustain and build a championship roster. Now, there are teams that find ways to move around it. Maybe they trade a superstar and everyone thinks they're crazy and then it works out. Maybe they make a really tough cut. Whatever it is, like, I don't think that it's this direct causation so much as it is just a big factor when it comes to team building.
What has football done in the last 25, 30 years? It's changed. The way the game is called has changed. The way offenses are called has changed. The way defenses play has changed. And I really think, as I'm listening to you talk and break all this down, I'm thinking we might be in a moment of change right now. And because we've never seen this before when it comes to paying the quarterback X amount of dollars and then winning Super Bowls, it doesn't seem likely. It doesn't seem like it's possible. But right now, I think that we are in a moment of change where salary cap is going to continue to rise because that's what it does every year. And we're going to see GMs and the guys who are responsible for allocating the money or whatnot find ways to pay their guys and still find talent on the back end of this. That's what I think is happening right now. I understand people not wanting to buy into this and saying, but history says. Yeah, for sure. I get you. But things change. And we're seeing this right now. I mean, we got two black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl for the first time.
Yeah,
change.
Very cool.
Right? We're seeing the Baltimore Ravens go back to an old style football when everyone else is running away from that. That's some change right there. You're doing things differently. So I just challenge people to think, what if you are in a moment right now where we're going to start seeing a run of quarterbacks getting paid a whole bunch of money, go ahead and get to the Super Bowl because of the way they're allocated money? I'm looking at the way the Chiefs are doing it, and I agree 100%. Like, pay your quarterback, pay your offensive line, pay your defensive line, pay one skill player. Everything's not equal. If you look at the cap hit for the Seattle Seahawks, there's guys getting paid $18 million all the way down to about $600,000. Teams aren't built with a bunch of guys making the same amount of money. That's not how business works. That's not how teams work. The guys who perform well get the most money. Everyone else, you fall in line.
Well, and that's why I like this conversation. Like, I have, and we have advocated for, like, hey, Geno had a good year. I really want the Seahawks to be able to be competitive next year. I think Geno gives them the best shot, especially if they do not take a quarterback early. Why would I not want the Seahawks to be competitive? This isn't some roundabout way of me being like, see, you can pay Geno and still get to a Super Bowl. This is a conversation that I like because I would never advocate to pay Geno $40 million. No. This is a conversation that I like because I think there are fundamental ways that we misunderstand the salary cap. It is such a complicated. I don't
it's
understand.
So complicated.
It's so complicated. I don't pretend to be an expert on it. But I think that we so quickly jump to you can't build a team this way. You can't build a team this way. And I really like it when teams challenge that because it changes the way. I just think it's a fascinating conversation. Mm-hmm. It changes the way that we think about team building. So, for instance, if everyone is like, oh, well, Patrick Mahomes is the outlier for here. Why would you just choose Patrick Mahomes? First of all, Patrick Mahomes is the only example I have to choose from. I'm not comparing Patrick Mahomes to any other quarterback. But also, because it opens up another important debate. Can you do this with a top five player or is it Patrick Mahomes? Did Tom Brady win that many Super Bowls because of Tom Brady? Is Mahomes going to win because he's Patrick Mahomes? And if that's the case, like, then how do you build a team without one of those maybe two or three best guys in the league and win a Super Bowl? Like, do you not get that it makes the conversation more interesting?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Like, what are the factors that lead to winning a Super Bowl when it is one of the hardest things you can do? Is the answer having Patrick Mahomes? Because... guess what? One team has that.
One team has it.
But, I mean, it's what I have to work with right now. I don't know what you want me to do. No one's advocating that Kirk Cousins get Mahomes money.
No.
No one's advocating Geno get Mahomes money. No one's advocating that Tom Brady get Mahomes money right now. Like, what we're saying is, hey, here's a team that held on to their quarterback rightfully because he is the best quarterback in football right now. And they paid him rightfully. And he's going to get even more money when his cap hit goes even higher next year and the year after that and the year after that. Will they be able to win a Super Bowl after giving him that second contract? Because this was in question when they paid him. I've seen the comments. I saw the tweets. I'm just reminding y'all what was said.
I seen the tweets.
I seen them. I'm not about to hear that those weren't comments that were happening. I saw the comments.
No, and I love this conversation because you get different opinions and strong opinions, especially when you start talking money and quarterbacks. But I also think that people have to realize that you want to keep your greatest asset. A team is not crazy for wanting to make Pat Mahomes the highest paid quarterback in the league because he is the best quarterback to do this. You want to keep your assets, right? Even Geno, for example, you think the Seahawks want to keep their asset. He's one of the biggest assets of this team, right? He's one of the reasons why this team goes. You naturally want to keep it. You don't see your asset grow. And you watch them flourish and develop and say, okay, that's enough. We'll start all over. No, that's human nature. That's in business. He gives you the best chance to win ball games. Now, you need offensive line. You need defensive line. You need all of that. But to watch someone grow and become one of the best and say, all right, that's enough. We're going to start all over. That's a hard process. You can't just start all over, especially if you're winning. Say the Chiefs want to start all over right now. Right? They're winning ball games. They're not going to get a whole bunch of high draft picks. It is a long process to get to where the Chiefs are. You got to be lucky. Got to hit on some draft picks.
You got to have the perfect marriage of offensive coordinator, head coach, quarterback.
Everything has to be right. Everything has to be flowing. But you need that one guy. And typically that's going to be the quarterback. So, I appreciate people's opinions on that, even if you don't agree. We're not supposed to agree on this.
No.
I just know that I'm doing everything I can if I'm the Chiefs to keep Pat Mahomes and I will pay him $50 million, which they're eventually going to do. If I'm the Seahawks, I'm going to do everything I can to keep Geno, but obviously there's a limit because he's not Pat Mahomes, right? He's more of the Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff type of scenario. So I'll do everything I can to keep him within what
reason.
His market value
no
is.
One, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No one is I have not met a single person who says, pay Geno elite quarterback money.
No.
Now, if you want to say, can you win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? Can you win a Super Bowl with Aaron Schatz compared Geno to Tyrod Taylor? Can you win a Super Bowl with now Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, guys that were getting paid around what Geno is? I think I'd say no.
Can you? Here's the thing. Like, can you win a Super Bowl with those guys? And I think of Kirk Cousins, and I'm looking at the list right now. I see Nick Foles, but a lot of stuff happened. Like, Nick Foles didn't have to carry this football team for the full season. The last quarterbacks to win, Stafford, Brady, Mahomes, Brady, Foles, Brady, Manning, Brady, Wilson, Flacco, Manning.
That's what
all these guys are elite, besides Nick Foles. But you just need a quarterback to win. That's all I'm saying. And Jalen Hurts is an MVP-type quarterback. Yes, he's on a rookie deal. We'll see what happens there. But quarterbacks give you your best chance to win. Quarterbacks, offensive line, defensive line, that's why they get paid the most money on any team, right? You got a Pro Bowl, DN, D-tackle who's getting 15 sacks a game. He's going to get paid the most because it's all about the quarterback, protecting the quarterback, and getting after the quarterback. That's just how the cookie crumbles in the NFL.
Well, and also, if I'm every other team, I'm watching these two teams to see what happens as I'm watching any team that manages to sustain success. Like, everyone was watching New England. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing to be able to get back here? And it turned out what they were doing was sometimes cheating, but also that Tom Brady was just better than everyone. Like, I think we can put to bed the arguments about, oh, Tom Brady only won because he was a system guy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't break and set new quarterback records and passing records in pretty much every single category and win 7 Super Bowls being just some guy.
No.
Like, now, timing was great for them. They played in a very weak division for the bulk of his career, where, like, what team was really challenging them for an extended period of time other than, very briefly, Ryan's Jets?
Mm-hmm.
Like that, seriously. Briefly. So that's part of it. Chalk up 6 wins a year. Great.
All right.
And then add on whatever else.
All right, but Brady took less money, Stace.
But Brady took less money, but Brady wasn't out here saying, pay me nothing. Brady was still the highest paid player on the team. Brady was still taking up a good chunk of the salary cap, saying like, Peyton Manning accounts for 17.5% of the cap. Well, Brady accounted for 15.6 in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So is the difference the amount of money Brady didn't take, or is the difference how talented he is, how great a coach Belichick is, and how well they were able to just execute every game plan and take advantage of every flaw in their opponent?
Also, you can't ignore that Brady had a billion-dollar wife. He was able to take less money.
Exactly. So, like, again, context. Context. You're going to tell someone not to take generational money because, I don't know, it's money that you're like, I would never see that. All right, well, what if you could?
You're taking it.
That's what I'm saying. If I came out on the street and I said, okay, do you want $12 million or $15 million? Who's saying 12 is good? Oh, 12 is great. 12 is more than I'll get in my whole life. If I'm saying, but I'll give you 15. Do you want 15? No. You keep the extra 3.
You know what? Hold on to that.
All right, let's get to 4 down territory.
This is 4 down territory. Going inside the game. With former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, what do you think the loss did for Brock Purdy and his future with the Niners?
Brock Purdy, in that moment, I'm looking at Brock Purdy, I'm thinking, man, this was your moment. This is your time to shine. This is your time to show the nation that I'm not just a rookie quarterback who got lucky. I can go on the road and beat Philly. So in the moment, it hurt. And I'm thinking about how they're going to look at this guy after this. What do 49ers fans think of this young man? But I think he's fine. I think that going into OTAs, he should be the number one quarterback. It's not to say they're not going to bring a quarterback in to challenge him, but he's done enough to where I think he will be QB1 to start the offseason. After that, it's up to him to keep the job.
Second down. What was the most impressive play of the weekend? You have a lot to choose from.
Man, we can go a lot of places. Devontae Smith, one-hand catch. McCaffrey, big boy run, 23 yards. Hardman reaching for the first down. Hassan Reddick forcing a fumble. But I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. 3rd and 4, 17 seconds left. He's running on a bum leg. He's scooting to the sideline with his little waggle that he does
it's
when he
so
runs.
Weird.
It's weird. But he wheeled his way there. I've had high ankle sprains before. Every time you push off of that foot, you feel it gets worse. It gets worse. It gets worse. He laid it all on the line. We're going to look at this performance 5, 6, 7, 8 years from now. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a signature performance for Pat Mahomes, especially if he gets it done in the Super Bowl.
3rd down. What opinions of ours were reinforced by the outcomes of the conference championship games?
We were just talking about it. You can win with a quarterback getting paid a lot of money on your team. You can do that, right? But he's special. Pat Mahomes is special. All right, I'm not saying that anybody is Pat Mahomes, but he's just showing that, look, it's possible. If you put money in certain places, everyone else falls in line, you can do that. We're also learning that, look, you can win games by just running the football. Be good with the run. Philly rushed for 148 yards. 3 players had around 40 yards. 4 touchdowns on the ground. 2 different ways of winning. We just talked about it. Got a cheap quarterback. Got an expensive quarterback. You got a run game. You got pass game. The Chiefs ran for what? 40-something yards. Didn't have to run the football. Threw the ball 40-something times. Rushed it 20-something times. 2 different styles. 2 different quarterbacks. You can win either way. Can't neglect how special Mahomes is, though.
Of course. Absolutely. All right. 4th down. I've been excited for this one. Other than players and coaches, refs have the biggest impact on the game. What were some moments where they played a big role in the outcome, and how do we fix their mistakes?
The zebras. The NFL protects the zebras like no other. It is crazy. These are some of the calls that these refs missed. They missed a holding on Orlando Brown on the same play where I just praised Pat Mahomes on 3rd and 14 with 17 seconds left, getting to the sideline. Call it. Throw the flag. They missed a call on Devontae Smith's pass. That was not a completion. New York, buzz those referees in their ears, say that is not a catch. Get up on the ball, let's run it again. Also, a bad call on Hilton, a DB breaking on the football. That was textbook. Left arm on the hip, right arm through the player and the ball. It was beautiful. All right, and then can you really overturn Harmon when he's reaching out for that football to get the first down? You don't know the angle. You can't really see what's going on there. I realize it was close, but to me, it wasn't enough. And then the intentional grounding by Joe Burrow. Close. He's throwing it towards the running back. It's near the line of scrimmage. Do you really have to call that? You understand what he's trying to do? And then the Chiefs get another run on third down. I'm looking at all these calls, and I'm saying, you're asking this young man, Osai, to get in front of the camera, talk to reporters after he's made the biggest mistake of his career and answer all these dumb questions. Not all of them are dumb. A lot of them are dumb. Like, you're just poking the bear right now. You don't care about him being a human, him being in this moment. You're just trying to get a story. Yet the Zebras run around and mess up so many times in a ball game, and we never have to hear from them. The NFL, oh, don't you dare talk about the referees or we're going to fine you. Like, they're humans too. They make mistakes. These guys get to take their shirts off, run to the tunnel, get in their rental, and head to the airport, and no one messes with them because the NFL protects them like no other. Like, they're child or something. It just bothers me. You got these young men who are emotional, who are fighting for their lives in this game, trying to put the city on their back, making a mistake. Yet these referees who make countless mistakes, and they're humans, understand that. Countless mistakes. They get to go in hiding after the game.
I'm just saying, we decide to absolutely throw someone to the wolves for making a single mistake. And I just think it's like, think of how many mistakes were made in this game.
Man.
Like Joe Burrow threw two picks. Now, I thought Joe Burrow actually played a pretty good game, and his stat line isn't completely indicative of like how he actually played. But I mean, Joseph Osai, 22-year-old, is going to go check his Instagram account or whatever and get 1,000,005 horrible comments from people who apparently had their lives dictated by the outcome of a football game. It's rough, man. Whack.
It ain't fair.
It's not.
It ain't fair.
Well, speaking of not fair, before I tell you what's next, let's get to What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Bump and Stacey, brought to you by Dick's Driving. So, folks, what's on
tap? You want to talk about not fair, Bump? How about Maddie Beniers being knocked out of a couple games, including this one today, Kraken? Or he's going to be out of the
All-Star break.
All-Star break, including the All-Star game that he's going to be missing. A couple days ago when they were taking on the Flames, we were told, look, he's going to miss the next couple games, and then TBD about the All-Star game, and then he will miss the All-Star game because of a cheap shot. I was surprised there wasn't more of a retaliation in the game after that one. But we'll see what happens. Anyways, wishing Maddie Beniers the best. So I wanted to do something fun before we get to what I need to know, which is already fun. So two things here. Number one, we're going to need your questions in about 30 minutes. Any question you have, you can start sending them in now if you want to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. But coming up next and first, as we wrap up our takeaways of the conference championship games, I wanted to talk about what's sticking with us from the weekend and maybe one or two sports pet peeves, because I've realized as we've been talking about refs and quarterback salaries and all this stuff that we've all got stuff that just like it is a hill that you are willing to die on. So I wanted to talk about a few of those, plus what's sticking with us from the weekend. That's coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
I need so many things, I'm sorry to ask, but you know, it's a Monday. Gotta get started with my week, so here we go. I need some questions for what I need to know. Any question you have, let's see, I'll come up with some examples. So here's an example that we're going to get to. What I need to know, if you're John and Pete, do you pick defensive linemen with your top three picks? Who would you take? So stuff like that. Great questions. Another one we've had is like, hey, what's the best sandwich ever and why is it this? Or like power rank cereal, like really whatever it is. It could be anything that's on your mind. My personal favorite are life advice questions. My actual favorite one that we've ever had, maybe like just more recently, was a guy who texted in saying, hey, so I keep my phone charger, like I have a couple of them, and I keep one downstairs, and my wife always asks to use it, even when mine is dead, and I want to tell her to get her own charger, but I don't know how to do it. Like those kinds of life advice questions. I don't know why I love them. I'm addicted to them. Anyways, any question you have, anything, send it in. You can send multiple ones. 866-979-3776. 866-979-3776. Let's talk about what's sticking with us from the weekend. I cannot stop talking about this. I'm sorry I've mentioned it so many times, but Osai, Joseph Osai, taking a tough penalty that was earned, being able to speak through tears to reporters after the game, I thought was great. But here's what's sticking with me. It is Jermaine Pratt walking in the hallway, yelling out, "Why did you touch the quarterback? It's my last year." He's frustrated, speaking from a place of emotion. I can't, if I say that I can't blame Osai for being in the moment during the play, I don't know that I can blame Pratt for being in the moment when he says this. I just thought that a much better example of sportsmanship and being a good teammate and a good friend was what his other teammate, I think BJ Hill, I'm not sure, DJ Hill, who's a defensive tackle, stood by Osai, who's 22 years old, stood by Osai while he was being pelted with questions just to support him, just to be there and just be there with him so that he didn't feel like he was isolated and by himself. And I think that no one is more upset with you than you in those moments, and it means so much to have someone by your side. So a big brown 10th place ribbon for Jermaine Pratt.
He's tripping, man.
And a first-place ribbon, obviously, Pratt, for Hill.
Not a good teammate at all. Imagine if you were in that position. Things happen so fast on a football field. I don't even think people realize how fast things happen on a football field.
Have you ever done something dumb on a football field where you felt bad afterwards or like you needed
like
to apologize?
Like a false start. You know, yeah. There's no reason for receivers to be false start. I hate that. Just look at the football. You don't even need to know the count. Look at the football, you go. But that's just a bad teammate. Like, you're kicking him down when he's at his lowest.
Mm-hmm.
At his lowest. And, you know, these guys are making split decisions. Now, did he make a dumb decision? Heck yeah, he made a dumb decision. Yeah. You don't think he knows that? You don't think he's on guy was on the sideline crying, man. Like, you don't kick him when he's down. If you, like Dave Wyman just said, just don't say nothing to him. I've been mad at teammates before, but me going over there and expressing how I feel is going to do nothing for him mentally. It's going to do nothing. I just avoid him. You know what I'm saying? I might see him on campus one day and a few days later just give the quick little head and I'm like, "Dang, you messed that one up, dog." But there's nothing I can do that's going to make that situation better. So just stay away from it.
Question. You are not only a father of kids who play sports and multiple kids where you've had to probably like settle fights and arguments, but you've also been a head coach to a lot of high schoolers where there's a lot of emotions, right? All these young men who get fired up. What would you do if you're Zach Taylor? Like, what kind of message do you send to your locker room after this moment?
You talk about who you are, how you got to this moment, and how one play does not define a game. It might be the play that sticks with you the most, but it does not define a game. There were things that the Bengals could have done to set themselves up for more success, and they just didn't do that. And on that day, the Chiefs were just better than them on that day. Now I'm looking at the team and saying, but we have a bright future.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you got a franchise quarterback, a bunch of other pieces. New pieces are going to come in. This is the last time that this group is going to be together. You harp on those things. But in that moment, man, you don't kick a man when he's down. You don't harp on the negative. You find the positive in that situation. Four teams were left to compete for a Super Bowl, and you are one of those four teams. This is the second year in a row you made it to this point. It's something to be proud of. Did you fall short of your goals? Most definitely. You want to win a Super Bowl. But that does not mean that this year was a bust. It was a good year for the Bengals.
All right. That's what's sticking with me from the weekend. It's also a little bit of a pet peeve when people just harp on, you know, like an athlete or something for making a mistake. Like, I've like made fun of people and said jokes and whatever in the moment. Like, literally, it's our job. Like, if you were to rewind the podcast and find things I've said, you'll be able to find things. But like, just like, it was such a gut punch to see him sad. What's sticking with you from the weekend?
What's sticking with me?
Could be anything. It could be repetitive. If it's something you've already said, it could be an individual play. It could be something you're excited about seeing in the Super Bowl, something, a play you love seeing, a bad call, whatever.
What's sticking with me is Philly played the Niners JV. They didn't get the Niners' true test. And I'm looking at Philadelphia fans on social media, especially the popular ones, Joel Embiid. There's a picture with Joel Embiid, Kevin Hart, Gilly the Kid, Meek Mill, all these people from Philly, and they're talking like, "Philly, yeah, this is what we do, bah, 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 bah." I'm like, come on, man. Brock Purdy was out. Johnson gets knocked out. There's no quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes, you guys won, fair and square. You can't control what happens on the other side of the football with that other team.
No, you kind of want on a power play.
But don't be acting like y'all just stomped all over the Niners like they were nothing. like you said, in the second half, the defense played well. There's no offense. You had no quarterback. You cannot now. You can win with a cheap quarterback, but no quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
No quarterback. You're not running the wildcat all dang game. So that's the one thing that stuck with me is that Philly. Congratulations, you are going to the Super Bowl, but don't act like you play the Niners.
Yeah,
you played their JV,
and that's okay. You know what I mean? Sometimes that happens. Like sometimes you have teams that win because they play backups. What was it last year when Seattle improved defensively, but then had this stretch of games when they were facing a bunch of really horrible quarterbacks mm-hmm. that were either backups or just that team had a bad quarterback that year. And people wanted to take away from it. And you were like, well, hey, I mean, the game's the game. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You got to say the same thing for Philly, but I hear you. I too wonder in an alternate universe what would have happened in this game. If San Francisco had a fully healthy team, I wonder if my bracket would still be perfect. a pet peeve that I also have coming out of this weekend and out of today is now. I'm gonna get in trouble for saying this. What it is is I know I'm gonna not phrase it the way I want.
Okay.
No one take offense to this. Okay. My little pet peeve that I have out of the conversations we had today is when people draw direct comparisons from their lives to like a player salary.
Mm-hmm.
This is the time of year heading into free agency when we're all going to talk about the kind of money that players will make. And it's always like a frustrating argument because it's like a false comparison when people say, why not just take $2 million? That's money that would set me up for life. Yeah. But what if your company wanted to pay you $10 million or $12 million or $15
million. Right.
It's just like I would love to be as rich and famous as Beyonce. Unfortunately, I don't have a fraction of her talent or ability or, you know what I mean, or presence. Like there's a reason that some people get paid what they do. Professional athletes get paid what they're worth because the market, A, dictates that amount, and B, they got to that level because they at least have the skill to compete. The worst player on the worst practice squad in the NFL is still one of the best guys from where he's from.
Yeah.
And that guy would work circles around you and your friends, and that guy's not making anything. But but the guys that are making a ton of money, the Patrick Mahomes of the world, is making what he is because he's Patrick Mahomes. And I don't know how to have – it feels like a battle that you can't win, like someone moving the goalposts, being like, well, I would take $2 million. I would take five.
I would too.
Okay, well,
but I ain't.
But I'm. But okay.
I'm not one of the best quarterbacks in the league, neither.
No, exactly. It's just it's a conversation that drives me crazy. But
right.
Yeah,
I'm with that.
That's a fair one. I'm going to take yours as the refs. The refs conversation.
Oh,
I'm gonna
yeah,
count
referees
you.
All day. Stop hiding, zebras. Show yourselves.
That was yours. All right. Those also get the 10th place brown ribbons. This hour of Bump and Stacey is brought to you by Mazda of Everett. We're wrapping up with what I need to know, and I need your questions. Send those in now. 866-979-3776. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
What I need to know, you don't meet too many smart, beautiful women that love sports. How are you single, Stacey? Oh, my God. I know, I can't believe I read this question first, but I'm not. Me and Brian, my boyfriend, are it's pretty serious. I'm actually really excited for Valentine's Day.
Is it standard that you mess with your hair when you say Brian? Every
no.
time you say it, you mess with it.
I read that question as a joke so I could mention Brian. I'm moving on to other questions. What I need to know, this is what I need to know, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, Electric. I can use more questions also. Text them in now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Any question, as you can tell, ones that flatter me will be read first. What I need to know, what other quarterback is Geno's realistic ceiling? Kirk Cousins, ? So
Curtis
what's like a
Cousins.
You could do past or present, too, that's like, this person is, I could see a ceiling for what Geno can be.
Curtis Cousins. You know what? I would say that's a fair comparison. I think that's almost perfect. But I think that Geno could win a playoff game, though. That's the difference. I honestly think Geno could win a game. But
yeah.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
I think Kirk Cousins is the weirdest because he'll have, who did we talk to that called him 1 p.m. Kirk? He'll have
I was
Hurst.
It was Mark Ross, right?
Yes, Mark Ross. Mark Ross.
Or was it Jeff Chedid? It was Mark Ross.
Yeah. He called him 1 p.m. Kirk because he'll have these amazing 450-yard games, and then all of a sudden it'll hit primetime or a playoff game, and he'll have two picks and just not be able to do anything. Let's see. What I need to know, if you were able to pay Geno and Aaron Rodgers the same over the next 2 years, who would you take? I'm not a fan of Rodgers, but thinking about him throwing to Tyler and DK would be exciting.
Of course you take Aaron Rodgers. You pay him the same, meaning like 30 mil?
Yeah, but the problem is Aaron Rodgers is currently getting, what is he at,
50?
50?
50.
Jeez Louise.
Of course you take Aaron Rodgers. Though,
I know.
Come on.
What I need to know, has Jalen Hurts made it to the top tier quarterback list? Who's in the top tiers right now?
You have to go Pat Mahomes.
Yes.
You have to go
Burrow.
Josh Allen.
Where would you put Hurts, Herbert, and...
Well, for this year, Hurts has to be the mix. He's the MVP candidate.
Exactly.
He has to be. So
where would you put Lamar and Herbert?
What about Trevor Lawrence?
And Lawrence.
Lawrence is on the outside looking
All
in.
All AFC guys, by the way, right now.
Yeah. Lawrence is on the outside looking in. I still take Lamar, healthy Lamar, over Jalen Hurts. So they're like tier 1B.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts, tier 1B.
Yeah. What's the first NFC quarterback to get into a tier? Is it Dak?
NFC?
Oh, I guess Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, yeah. Jalen Hurts.
Then Dak.
I think Kirk.
So too, which is wild, where you're like, Dak Prescott might be the second best quarterback in the conference.
Uh-huh.
What should I not miss out on at the Peoria Sports Complex? Heading to my first spring training game, February 24th. Go Mariners.
I don't know. Never been.
Check out the backfields. You'll see some practice going on. And I don't know if they still do this or not, but they used to let fans shag BP. So you could go out there with your glove and catch some fly balls, or at least knock them down or hope to not get in the way of them. I did it like 4 or 5 years ago. Made a diving catch in the outfield, scuffed up the dirt there, left a big divot. Had to replace it, obviously. So, it's a great time.
This is a very confusing. A
lot of fast food around the Peoria Sports Complex.
My dad insists that when multiple people are going to the same place in separate cars, that everyone caravan. This is absurd in the age of GPS navigation and cell phones, right? He's adamant about it, but it seems more dangerous to me. I hate it so much, I'll intentionally take wrong turns, get off the freeway at the wrong exit just to get his coat.
That's such a dad thing, though.
I appreciate the ability to carpool. I hate the idea of carpooling when I'm like, I just want to listen. I want to listen to my podcast. I want to eat my snacks, which is what I'm using the passenger seat for. I don't need anyone to ride with me.
I just want to get to where I'm going and not have to stop anywhere else. Deal with other people. That's how I get down.
Is there a Chris Jones or Hassan Reddick in this draft?
Hassan Reddick, Chris Jones. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough to put on these young men, but it's the usual names. Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, Miles Murphy. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, same suspects. Doesn't change.
360, favorite guilty pleasure food. I will allow both a hearty and a sweet.
A hearty
or savory
and a sweet?
And a sweet, for instance. My sweet would be like cookies that are giant and kind of like pretty soft and doughy, like almost like uncooked in the middle and like thick. And then the savory part of that would be maybe like a good pasta.
I would
And that includes mac and cheese, like any kind of bread product.
Brownies. Oh,
yeah.
Brownies. I will get sick. If you make a good brownie, batch of brownies, I'm all over it.
Yeah.
And then also I would go with just pizza, man. I love me some pizza.
What podcast? Do you listen to podcasts? Podcast
The Bump and Stacey one, 5 stars only.
5 stars only, Bump and Stacey podcast. Mm-hmm. That's an important one.
I listen to Dominic Foxworth.
Yeah.
Some randoms.
Okay, from the 206, a hypothetical. If you were to trag and trade. It's hard to say.
You did
if
that,
you were to franchise,
rushy rookie.
Rookie rushing record.
Yeah.
Rushy rooking record. if you were to franchise tag Geno, what kind of draft pick could you get for him? And in a trade, obviously.
I don't think you can get a first. I think you can get a high second, third.
Definitely a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what? Sam Bradford a few years ago got traded for a first. Geno's season this last year was better than anything Sam Bradford ever did on
like
a football field.
10 years ago.
Sam Bradford.
Last time Sam Bradford was in the league?
He's had to have made, because he was right before the new CBA.
He made well over $100 million in his career.
The new CBA that limited rookie salaries. He was the first class before that.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have made cost per game started versus total overall salary has to be like the biggest gap.
2018 was the last time he
2018,
played.
Arizona.
What's his career earnings? Do you know?
Let's take a look.
Oh,
prepare
my God. Let me
to have your mind blown.
I'm going to be so.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
I got it.
Hit me with it.
Take a while.
Talk to me.
Talk to me. I'm going to guess $120 million.
115. Oh,
more. $200 million.
135.
Just below bump.
130?
130.
130 million.
130 million. Oh, my. Sam Bradford.
He's jelly.
God. Unreal. All right, you guys. That will do it for us today. We will be back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow for Michael Bumpus. For Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacey Rost. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.